from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Wilmore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. What is happening, everybody, at Payday Friday? Shout out to all the graveyard shift workers, all the overnight dancers, all the janitors, all the carpenters, everybody out there getting ready for a great weekend. Hopefully, you're having a good day so far. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. You know that for sure. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. Look, we got a special guest here, one of our favorite players of all time. First memory of my childhood watching Giants baseball was Will Clark rocketing a grand slam at Wrigley Field in the playoffs to go to the World Series in 1989. And Will Clark joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 Game up here on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And boy, I gotta say, Will, man, that podcast you got going on with Eric Burns, the clips I see, I just chuckle. I watch them over and over and over again. It's letting it fly, Will. Good morning to you, buddy.
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Oh, man, we're doing great, man. We're doing great, especially finally getting a win here, man. I mean, wow, those first three games against the Braves. So we'll get to that. Obviously, salvaging the game yesterday with a great start by Logan Webb. But the Bay Bridge Series, it'll be the last time we see this between the Oakland A's and the San Francisco Giants. Obviously, they're moving up to Sacramento. And, you know, when we talk A's, Will, I'm so desensitized from everything that's happening with that organization. And I know maybe you're so affiliated with the Giants, but when I think of the A's, I just think of sadness. What a sad situation for them, Will.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You know, I mean, you know, not only, you know, the great teams that they had in the 80s, you know, with McGuire, Canseco, Eckersley, Dave Smith, Ricky Henderson, I mean, guys like that. But then you go back to the earlier generations with, you know, Reggie, Vida Blue, Sal yep. Bando, Joe Rudy, you know, people like that. And you just shake your head as to, you know, that organization was so great for such a long period of time. And then to move out of the Bay, it's just kind of disheartening.
Yeah. Yeah. Will, I'm watching these Giants this year, and it's like, the approaches with runners in scoring position are baffling. I mean, the amount of times I see a guy at third base with less than two outs. And no, like,
he's already laughing.
No,
he knows.
Because Will,
he knows.
Like, I grew up in an era, and I know that you can relate to this, where my dad would say, like, you just have to put it in play to the right side. And no matter what, you gotta you choke up, get wide, like two strike approach from the beginning of the at bat, put the ball in play, get this run home. is this an organizational thing? Is this a baseball, like a modern baseball thing? Because it's driving me insane watching this team fail to execute. Like, these are simple, basic fundamentals. And it's, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. It just, it really bugs me.
Well, as a guy who made his mark driving in runs and driving in crucial runs, yeah, it drives me crazy too, especially, you know, working for the organization and having, you know, worked with most of these guys. You know, it's just, you know, when you're in those crucial situations of a game, you have to trust yourself. You have to trust, hey, look, I did the work on the field. You know, I did the batting practice and all that. I know what's coming because I've been paying attention to the game, and you have to trust yourself and stick with it. And like you said, kind of put the ball in play. It's not that hard. It's a lot of common sense. The first off, you know, you pay attention to the game. If a guy's throwing a 2-1 slider, well, you go, I'm going to look for a 2-1 slider. You know, you don't look for a fastball in that situation. And, you know, these are the kind of things that, you know, when I go work with the guys, you know, that we talk about, and, you know, they kind of understand it, but then when they get on the field, they, I guess you want to say, for lack of a better term, they don't trust themselves, and they go back to whatever they wanted to do before. And, yeah, for me personally, you know, it's kind of baffling. And it's not only, you know, a San Francisco Giant thing. It's a baseball thing. Yeah. You know, I mean, I see it. I see it all the way through when I watch some of the other teams, you know, that we're playing against and we're pitching against. It's like, how did he not look for that pitch right there, you know? I mean, so, you know, when I go watch a major league game now, I mean, I literally can call, I don't know, 85% of the pitches. And I haven't hit in 25 years, and I know what's coming.
That's unbelievable. Will Clark, of course, is number 22. He was retired with the Giants last year. Wall of Fame, of course, six-time All-Star. Here on the Morning Roast on the River Islands guest line. So these approaches and these youngsters. Look, I hear the conversation, Will, that big-time hitters don't want to come play in this ballpark. But yet I see these road teams come in, and they're hitting the ball out the yard with no problem. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell is going on here? We can't find a power hitter to save our lives. So if you can't find a power hitter, I think the approach is just the way the lineup is constructed. What about getting some speed, Will? Let's get some guys who can go first to home, some guys who go first to third. The lack of attention to the athleticism within the lineup, that drives me crazy because you're one of the worst teams in baseball when it comes to stealing bases.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, the lack of speed is starting to be addressed. I mean, if you look at, like, Tyler Fitzgerald, he can run. Grant Gray, who we just called up, he can run really well. So, you know, and Matt Chapman is an above-average runner, you know, even though nobody really realizes it. So, I mean, you know, we're starting to get more speed in the lineup. We're starting to get more athleticism. And, you know, it'll make for, you know, a better team, you know, down the road. And then not only that, open up some avenues for Bob Melvin to, you know, to run and do stuff like, you know, the bunt base hit that Grant had yesterday and, you know, stuff like that. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, if you go around our minor league situation that we have right now, you're starting to see more athleticism. We've got guys on the lower levels. I've seen one of our teams on the lower levels, and we got guys that not only can hit a little bit, they can run, and they put pressure on the defense, and I really like it. So those guys will be coming, you know, down the pipe here in the next few years.
Will, you brought up the minor leagues. You opened the door for me. All right, look, I'm a sick individual. I watch a lot of just videos of the prospects. You don't get a great feel because these are highlights. They're never you never see a guy striking out or failing to execute with a runner at third base or booting a ball or anything like that. But I'm watching Bryce Eldridge, and I heard that you were working with him, and it's just highlight after highlight after highlight, and the power, just his stature at the plate, the swing, the ability to go all the way. I mean, from what I've seen, he just looks different from anything that the Giants have ever really had. You've had an opportunity to work with him. Is that's what I've heard?
Yeah, I definitely worked with Bryce. You know, he was drafted as a pitcher and a position player, but he didn't really have a position in the Giants. At first, put him in the outfield, and he didn't particularly care for that. So now they moved him at first. And so I've been working with him, you know, around the bag at first and then had a chance to watch his at-bats. And, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, he will be a major leaguer. He's got that presence. Like you said, he can hit the ball all over the ballpark with power. Matter of fact, probably left center is his best power. Yeah, I mean, he's getting it. He's definitely getting it. But, you know, he's also one of those kids that, you know, he's a high school guy, and now he's facing, you know, 90-something every day, and he's getting used to it and getting used to playing every day and in the grind of, you know, professional baseball. So, you know, he will make it to the major leagues, just a question of when, but he's already, you know, jumped two leagues. I mean, he started in Arizona and he went to San Jose. He was in San Jose literally not even half a year. Now he's in Eugene, which is high A, making the adjustment there.
Well, your thoughts on Marco Luciano? You know, he calls up, he gets called up after Soler gets traded to the Atlanta Braves, and they wanted to open up at-bats. Then he doesn't play for a week, gets about 21 at-bats. Do you think he should have been given more of a leeway to kind of get some at-bats here to play a little bit more? Or is he just not ready to play at this level, Will?
Marco, if you...
Hold on, Will. We're going to get a better line. You're cut out there. We'll get Will. Let's make sure we get a better line for him because he was about to get into that. Marco Luciano. I bet you Will probably wasn't happy about him not busting down the first baseline the other night. Sorry, that one.
The Bryce Eldridge thing. I know that most people have never heard of him that are listening to us right now, but him saying he will be in the, like, he was like definitive with that. I mean, that makes me feel really good. Really good about him. I know. Years away. I told you. I think he's gonna.
We got Will back. All right, Will. Go ahead. We cut off for a second there. Will, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm having some fun. You know what I was saying, Marco Luciano. You know, if you look at history, he's had kind of an injury-filled career. He really has played a full year, and so he needs to play every day. And you know, coming up to the major leagues and, you know, sitting, playing, and then also just basically being a DH. That wasn't, you know, kind of what kind of player he is. So he needs to play every day. And kind of what I was saying with Eldridge. I mean, you know, he needs to play every day and play a full season and learn how to get through a full season without getting hurt.
Yeah. Well, what's your make on the adjustments that Tyler Fitzgerald has made? I mean, he came up earlier this year. I mean, we saw glimpses of him last year, and I was like, oh, man, maybe he could be like a utility type of a Chris Taylor or Kiki Hernandez type of a player. And then now he's playing shortstop. He's doing a pretty good job at shortstop right now. But the power, I mean, anything up and in, he's just crushing right now. What adjustments have you seen him make?
Well, I've been a big proponent of Tyler Fitzgerald for a few years. You know, he's a big kid. He's 6'4". You know, like you mentioned, he does have a lot of raw power. We talked about it before. He's got speed. He can play multiple positions, you know, which is good. You can move guys around if you need to. And, yeah, I mean, you know, it was one of those things. He just needed a chance. And he's getting his chance now, and you guys are seeing what he can do. One thing about Tyler Fitzgerald, because I've seen him over the last few years, he is a notoriously slow starter. So he had gotten called up early in the year, and, you know, rightfully so, he got sent down because he wasn't doing the job. And then this time of the year, you know, June, July, right up in there, he's going to get hot. And he got hot already this year, and he's done a great job so far for Bob Melvin and the troops. And, you know, I see him as a key part of our organization moving forward just because of what he brings to the table as far as speed, power, and can play multiple positions.
What do you think is his best defensive position?
I've always seen him at short.
Okay.
In the minor leagues, but he also does a real good job in center field, you know, the little that we saw last year when he was in center field. So, you know, I mean, me personally, it's like, you know, he's going to get a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better the more he plays at shortstop. But then again, if you need him to move in the outfield, he can.
Well, I got to ask you, man. Deuce is wild with you and Eric Burns, one of my favorite pods out there, because you tell it like it is. And Burns just tees you up, and you just go in, whether it's the Cardinals of 1987. But my favorite, and I want you to just tell it like it is, because we're suckers for jerseys. I love jerseys. Love jerseys, especially the old school jerseys. But the All-Star game this year in Texas, what the hell was that, Will?
God.
And I heard your take on it.
God.
And just, I mean, it was atrocious.
Oh, my God. So you just mentioned Burnsy and I, you know, podcast called No, I think it shows. We're both drinking, so we're half in the bag, and we're each other up and off on something, and I go off on it. You know, the All-Star game jerseys were like a perfect one. Because he's like, man, I actually don't mind him. And I go, that looks like baby puke right there, those freaking tan things that they had up there. I said, they look terrible. Plus, on top of that, now everybody looks the same. So here you are, you're a fan, all right, and you're going to an All-Star game, and you see everybody in the same jerseys. Well, you don't know. Let's say if you're a Phillies fan, you don't know where Bryce Harper is. You know, if you're a Giants fan, you don't know where Logan Webb is, you know. And so I want to go back to the old school jerseys, yeah. Which when you're a fan, you know where the hell your player is and you pull for him and stuff like that. So,
Will, I'm looking at the game as a whole right now. And me and B talk about this all the time, and I'm always like, these arbitrary numbers that we throw on pitchers, for example, oh, he's had 100 pitches, he's done. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Not all 100-pitch outings are set up the same. What was his bullpen like in between starts? You know, was it all sliders? Was it all curveballs? Were there runners on base? You know, like, what's the score? Where is he at in the game? And, like, I just go, like, old school. There's a feel to it. There's some give and take. Is the guy sore today? That, you know what I mean? Like, all these little things, it drives me crazy the amount of times I see a pitcher humming, okay, and you yank him out of the game to bring in someone cold out of the pen, and the other dugout's going, thank you for taking that guy out. Like, that is my biggest beef with today's game. What's your biggest beef?
I totally agree. So, you know, my thing is, you watch and you pay attention to the game, all right? We just talked about that as far as, you know, hitting with runs and scoring position. The same thing as far as pitchers go. You know, if you got a guy, as you said, that's cruising right along, you know, and nobody's getting good swings off of him, why take him up to go to a guy to bring him out the pen? It might not be that guy, you know? And so for me personally, you know, the pitch counts, you know, we used to have guys go 120, 130 pitches, whatever it was, whatever it took, you know. And, you know, for me personally, these guys can do it, but they're trained nowadays, and especially, you know, coming out through high school, because I'm seeing it with these kids. Mason Black is a perfect example. You know, Mason Black was on a 70-pitch count, you know, in AAA. They call him up here to the major leagues. His first outing, Bob Melvin lets him go 84 pitches. So, you know, when you get to the major leagues, it's whatever you got in the tank, that's what you give me. And then you got 4 or 5 days to rest before you come back out here and do it again. So for me personally, the pitch count, you know, for all you young players out there, it's BS. It should not be paid attention to. It's how you're pitching that day.
Will, I love this. No, this, and this, you're talking about like high school and college. My nephew, who's a very high level, played on the USA under 18 team, and he's a pitcher, and he's got this decision to make, like, do I go maybe at some point to the minors, or do I go Power 5? And his dad's like, yeah, we're going Power 5. I want to see him, because he's going to have a big workload, real weights, real training. You know, like, you're asked to do different things. He says he was looking at Kyle Harrison's, you know, game logs in the minors. He's going 2 and 3 innings. Like, that's not going to get him prepared for base, for real professional baseball.
That is correct. And that's exactly what I was telling you. You know, some of these guys, they don't get it. You know, when you get to the major leagues, it is a different animal. I mean, a big different animal. At the major league level, you're going to be asked to do a lot of things that you've not been asked to do before. And they don't really care. They're like, no, this is what you get paid for, is to go out there and do it. And, you know, same thing as far as a player goes. You got to get used to playing every day, on 9 innings every day. And when you're gassed and you're mentally tired, all right, how do I push through it? How do I get to the next level? And that's why they call it the dog days of August, which is what we're in right now with the San Francisco Giants. But the great thing about the San Francisco Giants is, you know, with the exception of the Braves, who we just played, you know, we only got the Brewers at the end of the month. Other than that, we're playing below 500 teams. So these are teams you need to beat up on right now.
Yeah, you got to get hot right now, because that September schedule will – You talk Brewers, Diamondbacks for six, Padres for six. You got the Cardinals, the hated St. Louis Cardinals. You don't play the Rockies no more, that's for sure, if you don't have the Dodgers as well. Real quick before we let you go, there's going to be a lot of energy in the ballpark. I don't know if we're going to go out there to Oakland for the weekend series between the Giants and A's, but what do you remember about that energy that the A's fans brought during that 89 World Series? Trust me, it's not a memory we all like. We don't like it because I think if that earthquake doesn't interrupt the series, we may have a shot at winning that bad boy. But what do you remember about the energy the A's fans brought?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, not only did they bring it that year, I mean, they had been in the World Series the year before. So this was a 2-year stretch. The A's were on fire, you know, and so it was fun going to play when, you know, all the lights are on and everybody's going crazy. It's a lot of fun going out there and doing that. And put it this way, if you don't want to do it, you don't need to be a baseball player. And so for me personally, I loved it. I mean, I thought, hey, this is the way baseball is supposed to be played. So, you know, for me, you know, the A's back then, they did a fabulous job. You know, they had been, you know, like I said before, in the World Series the year before. Yep. And, you know, they were studs. So, you know, more power to them.
You know, I'm looking at this Giants team, and I tell B every day, I go, man, I get to see Matt Williams at third base. There's just something about seeing the Marine over there at third, wearing number 9. It just gets me in my feels. How do you think Bob Melvin's done this year in terms of just situational managing?
I think he's done a real good job because, you know, not only has he hit the ground running, but he's starting to, you know, initiate and get, you know, kind of a new, you know, mindset going. And the mindset being, hey, boys, we're here to win. We're not here to do anything else but win. And so for me personally, I love Bob. I love what he has done, you know, to this organization so far. And I think it's only going to get better.
I can't wait. Let's see how the season ends, man. They got a shot here, but they got to get rolling real quick. We love the podcast with you and Eric Burns. I love the fact that you 5 days ago, I think you sent your highlights of you playing for Team USA at Dodger Stadium. You had some ridiculous day. I think you're like 3-4 for 5 or something like that, hitting bobs, hitting in the gaps or whatnot, man. That's probably my favorite part of your Twitter account. You have no shame in resharing your highlights.
Oh, no. And then you get out there, and you let it fly. And, you know, there was no reservations as to who the hell I was playing for. I was playing for that USA on my chest, and I loved it.
Who's your favorite player in the game right now?
You know what? I like him because he has such quality at bats. Is Soto?
Soto.
You know, I like a guy that's going to go out there and he's going to make the other guy, you know, earn every little thing that he has. So I like Soto a lot. You know, there's some other guys that I really don't mind watching on an everyday basis. But then there's other guys that are real soft, and I know that for a fact. I can see it. I can feel it, and I'm like, ooh, I don't necessarily like that guy.
Well, I know you're not the biggest fan of Joey Gallo. You told us that a couple years ago.
You got to hit the ball. You can't strike out all the time.
Thank you.
Bat 180 with 40 jacks. That's sickening, man.
How about Bobby Witt Jr.?
Yeah, hey, I'll take Bobby Witt Jr. You know, I knew Bobby from the time he was born, you know, because I played with his dad on the Olympic team and I also played with his dad in Texas. And so I've been knowing Bobby since the day he was born and, you know, just the pedigree he had, the athleticism he has. And, you know, he's definitely going to be a superstar for years to come.
Will, what can we sell to one of these big-time free agents to come here and play for the Giants? Because you got something cooking. You got a great fan base. Look, I don't know if you were in the recruiting pitch with Aaron Judge, but I thought they should have had him courtside at a Warriors game. Jesus. You get Will Clark. You get Kevin Mitchell. You get Barry Bonds. Hell, we'll come down with you.
And
we'll sell him on the city of San Francisco and give him $600 million. Who the hell cares? He's going to be printing money if he comes here.
Let me just tell you, all right? We made a good pitch to Judge. But there was no way we were going to get Judge, all right? Yeah. No way. Because how do you think the New York Yankees are going to look when you have your slugger breaks one of the all-time hallowed records of history and you let him go?
Yeah.
You're going to beat the media and the fans. So there was no way we were going to outbid New York. There was no way. Second off, as far as, you know, being a high-profile free agent, you know, one of the things about playing in in Oracle, which nobody understands. And it's like Candlestick, all right? Because the wind blew so much at Candlestick, you had to keep the ball down. You had to hit line drives. And then if you got up underneath it, all right, there's your homer. But in the meantime, you're going to be spanking stuff in the gaps and hitting double and triple. There's a reason they call it play out there. You got so much to get out there, all right? Plus, on top of that, this is the main difference in between Oracle and Candlestick, is the ball goes out of line. There were days at Candlestick you couldn't hit a cannon out of left field, all right? And now you got a yard where the ball shoots out there. Well, I mean, that should make for good hitting. You can go to right and hit a triple, or you can go to left and hit a homer. So, I mean, you know, that people don't want to come to Candlestick Oracle. People don't want to come there. That's kind of a BS, you know, statement. It's, hey, look, if you go out there, you do a good job of hitting, you'll be able to hit in that ballpark.
Will, always fun talking to you, man. I love the podcast with you and Bergie. When you got the yak there, just telling stories, old baseball stories. We can listen to it all day. Thanks for the time today, Will.
Hey, guys, y'all have a great one. I enjoyed the interview. Thanks.
I love
anytime.
It. The thrill.
Will Clark here on the Morning Rush on the River Islands. Still. Guest line here. Will Clark, 6-time All-Star. Jersey retired. Wall of Fame member. He tells it like it is. Only got two BSs. Only two BSs.
Who
okay.
is the soft guy he's talking about?
Yeah,
he had
know.
Someone in his mind.
Yeah, I wasn't going to.
He's soft and he knows it, and I know he knows. I know he's soft.
I was going to prod him, but we don't need to get him in trouble. We don't want to put it.
I'll be fully candid here. Like, Kevin Mitchell was my guy. My dad loved Will Clark. Yeah. It's the way he played the game. And there are a ton of guys in their 40s, into their 50s. Like, it's the way he approached every single at bat, every single ground ball, every single throw over to first base. His whole, like, he was giving you everything he had. I love Will so much.
I love Kevin Mitchell, but I love Will Clark because he was a lefty. And I was a lefty.
Yeah.
So I was just like, you know, lefties, and I tried to imitate his batting stance for so long. It was so cool.
Gotta have the sleeve up.
There you go. All right. More coming up here brought to you. Oh, wait. We got caller of the week. And this week's caller. We can do it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Put it on the other side. You want to do it on the other side? Because this call wasn't the best call of the week. I don't know why you guys threw this in there. It wasn't the best call of the week. We'll do it on the other side, Spadoni. Let's do it on the other side, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body.
If you love Philadelphia, there's a high probability that you hate this too. It's the Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Love you guys. Well, most of the time.
Shout out to Kate Scott. Have Breakfast with the Rolls starting this Monday. We're giving you a chance to come in and have breakfast with the Morning Rolls on Friday, September the 6th, to kick off the football season with us. Listen all week between 7:30 and 8. We have 10 spots we're giving away. Each spot comes with the plus one that you can bring. I love how Kate said, you know, Bonte, you and I were mad at each other. I don't remember it like that. I don't remember it like that, but good times, good times, good times. We need a weekly Will Clark spot. Yeah, that would be fun. That would be a lot of fun.
Will Clark
gets after it.
He's just, he's the best, dude. He's just the best. And I think he's a great example of a guy who moved on in his career. And I don't blame him for this. Like, I think it was a big part. The Giants literally didn't have a lot of money. They chose Robbie Thompson. They should have chose Will Clark. Who knows if him and Barry could coexist for a decade? I don't know. A lot of who knows. But I think he's a guy that looks back like, man, like the woulda, coulda, shoulda, I should have stayed with the Giants. You know what I mean? And I think that, like, his whole entire career arc would obviously be very, very different. He ended up still being good in Texas and in Baltimore, but it just wasn't the same.
No,
and when people close their eyes and they think about Will Clark, they think about him as a Giant.
Well, that podcast with him and Bertie,
it's incredible.
So he just sits back and tells it like it is, with some yak, and he's just shooting stuff. It's pretty funny. All right, we got Caller of the Week. Let's get Caller of the Week. Let's go to Zach in Redwood City. Zach, what's happening?
Hey, what's good, guys? How's it going?
Don't get flushed,
Zach. First of all, Bonte.
Don't get flushed, dude.
First of all, Bonte, I got to give you the work in NCAA. I'll be Hoosiers. I'll be my Hoosiers. You can pick LSU. I'll put Taven Jackson. Shout out Trace Jackson Davis's brother. And, you know, I'll use Donovan McCoy, a.k.a. D-Mac, my guy. And I'll give you the work, okay? So that's first. But
sounds good.
Anyways.
Sounds good.
That was not the call of the week. That was not the call of the
Four
week.
Four different people asked me about that, and they said, are you afraid to losing to that guy?
No. It's a video game. You don't. If you want the work, what is my gamer tag? Hold on, let me find my gamer tag. I'll play somebody.
It's probably like Wisdom Guess. Waller Street Hustlers.
No, it's something Waller Street.
Yeah,
there's no doubt. I'll find it somewhere. But you know what? I'll play somebody. I've been on Daddy Daycare all week long. It's been me and Baby Chez. As soon as I get off work and pick her up for gym camp, and then till we go to bed. And
what time is bedtime, you know, for Baby Chess?
Usually 8 o'clock, but with me, it's like 8:30, 8:45.
So you're like me. I'm loose with it.
I'm very loose with it.
Yeah, I am
I'm
too.
Very loose. I mean, she was eating ice cream yesterday at 7:45.
She got mad at me because I put him like on a nap. Like, he's tired. He could take a little nap. He'll wake up. Oh, you got to be the one to put him to bed. So then this morning, and I'll show you a picture. This morning at, you know, 3:30 in the morning, I get up. I take my shower, blah, blah, blah. I've got the light on. And she's like, why do you have the light on? He's in the bed with me. I'm like, she did it again. She brought him into the room.
Well, I have no problem. When Baby Chess creeps into the room, I hear her pitter-patting. She opens the door. She closes. I say, come on up. Here's your pillow in the middle. I got no problem with it. Because one day she's going to grow old and she's going to want nothing to do with me.
Well, no, she's just, you know, she will want something to do. Daddy, can you Venmo me or transfer or Zelle me
that basically
money?
Want nothing to do with me other than money. I'll be used as an ATM machine. But it's loose. She was eating ice cream at 7:45. I had a FaceTime and goes, you know, it was bath night. I was like, we could do one tomorrow. And she's eating ice cream right now. I was like,
clean it up, Auntie.
She goes, no, I'm not going to clean it up, Flip, because I told Ed on the FaceTime. Finally, I said, I'm going to spoil the hell out of Baby Chess. Like it or not, I'm spoiling her. It's what I'm going to do. She's going to get spoiled by me. It's your job to play the bad cop.
No, that's what a good dad does.
So that's what we're doing. I forgot to call him at break, by the way. Tim Jordan was distracting me. Let's go to Will in SF. Will in SF.
Hi,
what's
Will
happening?
In SF.
Hey, what's going on, Morning Roasters, Master Roasters? What's up?
Hey, Will. It's good to meet you the other day. I met him the other day.
What do you mean?
We're eating pizza out there in Yerba Buena.
Yep. I didn't mean to interrupt your little meeting right there, Bonte.
No, you were good to go.
I know this guy.
You were good to go, man. Like, it was great. You said Master Roaster. I was like, yeah, I know who you are. And boom, it clicked.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
wait,
sir,
you
right
said,
on,
hold on. No, that wasn't you from that was the other guy from the Excelsior. He said he was from the Excelsior Daily City. But where are you from again, Will?
I was born and raised down first in the Mission, but out from Hunter's Point as well.
There you go. There you go. There it is. There it is. Master Roaster Will, good to have you back in the house, man.
No doubt. No doubt. But, man, I was going to say it's kind of hard to follow Will the Thrill, and I'm Will. Frisco, you know, right behind him. But, man, that guy, that dude, not only did he bring the passion, man, it was his swing. When yep. when everybody saw that swing, when he first came in and that swing came out, he hit off Nolan Ryan, wow, everybody fell in love. It was just his natural swing that just came out. It was everybody just really liking it. And then, of course, like you said, he was one red-ass dude. He just was fire, you know what I mean? And he just came every time. And like you said, Kevin Mitchell was one of my guys, too. I love some Kevin Mitchell, no doubt, man. But, yeah, no, Will Clark was definitely one of the centerpieces back, and that was my time. That was my era when he first got there. I remember I was in my breakdancing days with my Pumas that were untied.
Ray Gun?
Socks. Was that it?
You know, the Australian woman's name was Ray Gun, I believe, and she was breakdancing. Oh, yeah.
They're going to get rid of, they're getting rid of breakdancing for the 2028 Olympics, Will. They're getting rid of it.
Bonte, if I say, close your eyes. I already know the two names you're going to say. Prettiest swings in baseball history.
Griffey and Will Clark.
Is there anyone that comes close? Because I think most people are going to say Griffey and Will Clark. I do. I believe most really? People. Even non-Giants fans.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's for me, it's I did love Manny Ramirez's swing.
Oh, Manny was all time.
I did love Bear Rap.
When he hit it, he stayed at home plate and just lifted his arms up.
I did love Bear Rap, man. He was something special. Albert Bell, sneaky.
With the little one,
I kind of like that.
Eric Davis had a nice one, Eric too, Davis but it had wasn't a really as pretty. No. It wasn't as universally beloved.
The Will Clark and King Griffey Jr. Yeah. is just pretty.
Are we omitting someone? Spadoni, you ready to contribute?
Well, you talked about it yesterday, and maybe pretty is not the right word, but the most intimidating batting stance, I think Matt Olson might be up there.
I love his.
He's 6'5", 6'6". Yeah. I love it.
And the bat's out here.
He's in over the plate. Yes. He's like, come at me.
What about
every
Fred
single
McGriff?
Time. Yep,
but
that's
Crime
a good
Dog,
one.
No, see, Crime Dog, and I want to make sure, it's the finish over the head. That's the key. It's the one-arm finish over
Crime
the head.
Crime Dog was sick. Grime Dahl was sick.
I always have a soft spot for the compact nature of Mike Trout's swing. When he is on, it's just violent. Mm-hmm. The guy's just a beast. He's like a linebacker
Almost
out there.
Almost HGH-like.
Relax. All right. The guy's down bad right now. Do you see that video, actually? He pulled his own card with his son. It was cool.
Can we start to, like, can we have, a, like, a legit... All the people who told me he's better than Mickey Mantle and Ken Griffey Jr. and it's
At
like,
his peak.
On. I mean, come on, everybody. And I said, can we pump the brakes? And I like Mike Trout a lot.
Oh, there's some good ones here. Daryl Strawberry
had an iconic swing. Great call on that.
Daryl Strawberry's really smooth.
Oh, dude, he was down more. Here,
yeah,
too.
Rafael Palmeiro, I have seen as well.
Palmeiro was beautiful. Grace had a beautiful swing, too.
Palmeiro and Will Clark were teammates in Mississippi State.
Yes, they were. And
Texas.
Yeah.
But I don't think they get along much.
Nah.
I don't think there's any, you know, I didn't want to bring that up.
I have never used steroids.
If we're going to do, like, the Daryl Strawberry bat waggle and guys like that, to me, Sheffield is an all-time batting stance dude.
Yeah, Sheffield with the wag. He should be in the Hall of Fame, too.
That bat wag was so awesome.
So
I loved it.
The bat wag.
He wanted to keep his wrists loose. That was the whole thing.
Yeah, that bat wag was sick.
Oh, God, Sheff was so sick.
It was nasty.
We were talking about Maddox Bonds video where they were kind of like breaking down that at bat of each other. That reminds me, as if we need a reminder, the swing of Barry Bonds. One of the prettiest things to ever happen in the entire history of baseball.
So quick through the zone.
It's so beautiful.
It was like a Mike Tyson uppercut.
It was so awesome.
It was a 32-inch, you know, 29-ounce bat or something like that. It was the tiniest bat ever.
He was so quick through the zone. And it reminded me of a Mike Tyson uppercut where he just was, boom, next thing you know, it's over. It was so fast through the zone. It was like lightning, just poof. And Barry, but that video with Greg Maddux and Barry Bonds is really, really cool. Real quick, an update on Brandon Ayuk. John Lynch, quote here with John Lynch. There's no bad blood. Negotiations can get heated. I think it's his first time going through that, but no bad blood. There's a lot of love and respect for the relationship we've had and hopefully we'll have into the future. So the 49ers still trying to make sure. We're still trying to get Brandon Ayuk on board. I don't know what the hell's going on with that. I don't know.
I think Gunnar Henderson has a beautiful swing currently in baseball. I think Ohtani has a beautiful swing currently in baseball. there are some guys that have like Bobby Witt Jr.'s is just short and compact. You're talking about compact. His is like really like abrupt. But God, he's a ball player.
He's really good.
He's good. Ichiro had a beautiful swing.
We got Brody Brazil coming up at 9:20. Brody Brazil, NBC Sports California, to talk some Oakland A's baseball in the Bay Bridge and how he's feeling with this being the last Bay Bridge series. Remember, Brody Brazil was basically the architect of the Bay Bridge Series trophy. He was the architect of that. You got to give him credit for that. Give him some credit. He's got some underrated Bay Area sports knowledge as well. Brody Brazil goes back with the Oakland A's. Real quick, Pods, I want to squeeze this in because we haven't talked about the Warriors schedule release. First couple games on the road, Portland, Utah. Home opener against the Clippers. They've got 24 national televised games. 24. Second only to the LA Lakers. Second only to the LA Lakers. So they're still.
How many on NBC?
NBC.
Not Bay Area. NBC, the bigger.
Well, that'd be next season. Next season, the year after.
You're right, because TNT's got one more year.
They've got one more year.
Not a lot of people happy about that, by the way, that the Lakers and Warriors, who are probably going to be fringe playoff contenders, have the most. But, hey, LeBron James, Steph Curry, that's what it is.
Going back to the Seattle Mariners not getting television for, you know, whatever, or a Sunday Night Baseball, it is about drawing the largest audience. So, like, We could poo-poo it and get angry and all that, but like there's a business element to it.
Yeah, no doubt. 24 national televised games, 12 other games on NBA TV. Of course, the season tip-off at Portland against Chauncey Billups and the Portland Trailblazers.
A must-win for the Trailblazers?
Both teams. Game one.
Game one for Chauncey Billups' life.
Motor City going to be rocking for the season opener. Dude, it will be.
Sell me on that game right now.
It's the season opener.
Uh-huh.
Scoot Henderson, second season. DeAndre Ayton looking to get traded. They're going to be fired up there. It's a pageantry for a new season for the Portland Trailblazers. And you got Chauncey Billups. And, oh, by the way, Terry Stotts. Hold on, I'm not done. Terry Stotts revenge game. He's the assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors, the team that fired him and blamed him for everything. He gets his sweet revenge in his first ever game as an assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors.
You're brilliant. I swear to God, I love you. It's incredible how you can do that.
Hey, Portland must win. You don't want to start 0-1.
Pick a game on the schedule right now that's really garbage at the end. Just randomly pick a game, you know, like April 7th against the, you know, whatever.
Well, they play the Spurs the third to last game of the regular season. No chance Wembanyama's playing in that game, by the way.
Sell me on that.
No Wemby.
No, that's not true.
Sell me on that game.
It's a home game for the Warriors. I do believe the Spurs will be in the mix for at least a play-in berth.
That's their only visit to the Bay Area, by the way.
Their only visit to the Bay Area. Wemby will be playing. And you got Chris Paul. You think Chris Paul is happy about not playing that much in the play-in game?
Hey, Dub Nation, it's Chris Paul.
Pod's playing
it's
above
a Steve
him.
Steve Kerr, Chris Paul revenge game.
Dude, it is Wemby coming to the Bay, fighting for their lives for the San Antonio Spurs, trying to get into the play-in.
USA and you
know and the officiating
right
crew will be catering to the Spurs because they know we got to get Wemby in the playoffs. We got to get him on the platform here.
Could that be one of Pop's last games?
Could it be one of Steve Kerr's last games?
Win one for Pop!
It could be.
I'm buying stock in Andrew Wiggins.
Andrew Wiggins.
14 back-to-backs. We're not gonna touch that. 14 back-to-backs. Christmas Day against the LA Lakers. Christmas Day. We get Christmas Day with the LA Lakers. 2 p.m. tip-off at Chase, right? Is it 2 p.m. or 5 p.m.? 5 p.m. tip-off. I love that. Maybe we'll pre-tape. We taped the Christmas show last year. Taped it and then came in at tip off and then did the show after the game. So no halftime because it'd be national television. But, you know,
is anything real anymore? You just broke my heart saying that.
No, it's just the one game.
I don't know now.
Let him, you know.
It's just one game.
It bothers me.
I've worked Christmas like for the last 11 years. I don't even think it's a holiday for me anymore. MLK Day. Oh, I don't have to sell this game. It's the Boston Celtics.
Jason Tatum revenge game.
Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown are going to want to drop 50 minutes. Each.
He'll finally get
some minutes. So it schedules out. Schedule out. But the reason why I love the schedule release, because now I can look at the football season and say, okay, where's the conflicts at for Sunday?
Give me all the Clay games.
Oh.
Against the Warriors.
Oh, Clay. We got November 12th.
That's at home for the
Warriors? That's at home for the Warriors.
All right.
November 12th. Here, I pull it up right here because I had it. I had it all written.
I just figured you had it memorized.
No, I didn't memorize the schedule. Basketball schedule is tough to memorize. But here you go. Here you go. All the Clay games. November 12th.
Mm-hmm.
February 12th in Dallas.
Mm.
And then February 23rd, my mom's birthday, at home against Klay Thompson. So three games against Klay, plus the IST game. Remember, they're in the same pool with the in-season invitational. So they're going to have about four Klay games.
Look at you coming around on the IST.
I mean,
how will the Lakers defend their IST?
Hey, listen, I could sell everything. I'll sell the IST. It brought some excitement up. And then you got Lakers Pacers at a championship in Vegas.
What is the game that Draymond's circling?
Ooh, well,
the Rudy Gobert game. What?
The Rudy Gobert game.
When is it?
When is that game? When do they play? Ooh, they play Minnesota. Looks like December 8th.
December 8th.
I don't know. The schedule's fuzzy.
Nearly a day that will live in infamy.
It's fuzzy on this calendar. Let me pull it up. But no, that's the first game against Minnesota. No. Yeah, that's the first game against Minnesota at home. I thought they had an early road game against Minnesota. But that's the first game, Draymond and Rudy Gobert at home. Here we go. Let me pull this up right here. Let me get a good, clear copy. Oh, don't have that.
Greatest revenge game in the history of the Bay Area in either direction for a player that left and had to play somewhere else or for a player. Yeah.
December 8th against that Minnesota. That's
join it. The Warriors. What's the greatest revenge game?
The Warriors? Oh.
Greatest revenge game. Because I already know what it is in my head.
Greatest revenge game for a player playing against a former teammate?
No, just like just revenge. Bay Area revenge game in some fashion, some form or fashion.
I don't know. What, Chris Webber?
I was going to, on my top five, somewhere, I think it's the Andrew Luck playing Jim Harbaugh at Candlestick when the Colts smacked up the Niners 2 days after Alden Smith crashed into a tree.
That was a close game, 13-7, fourth quarter.
Andrew Luck was special.
He was special,
game.
But it was a 13-7 game in the fourth quarter. It was really close. No, you know, the greatest revenge game, and thankfully he didn't get revenge, was when Alex Smith came back to Levi's Stadium with the Kansas City Chiefs. First year of Levi's, and the Chiefs were up 7-0 in that football game. Threw a touchdown pass to Travis Kelce, a little tight end screen, and the Niners used a fake punt at the end of the game to keep possession and keep the Chiefs off the field. And it was like, we can't let Alex Smith win that football game. You can't let him win that football game. And they didn't win that football game. Thank the heavens for that. Joe Montana playing for the Chiefs against the Niners. That was good.
That's a great one. And he beat Steve Young. Yeah.
KD going off against OKC and Westbrook.
Nick Ahmed hitting that home run.
About yeah. What about Derek Fisher showing up to that playoff series late when he was on the Jazz?
Bring that up. Shut up.
I don't know why that popped in my head the other day, and I just, I hated that game so much. They cut over to him on that bike every time.
And Derek Fisher is coming out onto the floor.
Such a heroic return.
He just got here from the airport, and I was like, oh, God.
Real quick, because we're going to get back to the Bay Bird series and everything, but real quick, Pods joined Willard and Dibs yesterday, or Willard and FP. And Pods talked about his goals for the season, Warrior fans' goals for the season.
Everybody's goal is to win the championship. So that's obviously number one on the bucket list above any individual goal. I think, you know, seeing what that's like to be in the in-season tournament, you know, semifinals and finals, that's another goal of ours to win our pool. You know, we want to be a top six team. I think it's super crucial that we get into a seven-game series because, you know, like Steve and everyone else has said, I feel like it's hard to beat a Steph Curry-led team four times out of seven games. And I think last year, if we were able to get in that situation where we were handed a seven-game series, I think, you know, the results would have been different. So I think just being a top six seed after the regular season's over is something that we have our eye on as well, and then kind of just go from there. But yeah, just extending our season. Honestly, for me, being done since I think April 17th, whatever it was, to now, I mean, it's felt like an eternity. And so, you know, I don't want that feeling of having to sit at home and watch other teams play. I'd rather be the last, you know, one or two teams playing. So just goals like that. And, you know, as a competitor, you want to win everything you can. So anything that comes our way, I know, me especially, I'll be ready for it.
He'll be ready for it. By the way, the Klay Thompson return is actually the opener of the NBA Cup schedule. That will kick off the NBA Cup when Klay Thompson returns November 12th.
Is that a Friday night?
Oh, I don't
know. Or is it a Tuesday night?
Let me see. It is a November 12th. It is a Tuesday night, 7
so
p.m.
So last year, it was the second game, the OKC game that went down to the wire on a Friday night?
Yep, Friday night.
That was the second game. Okay.
Was that the first game? You sure?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I think it was the first game.
That was a Friday night, though.
Friday night.
That was a great game.
It was a great game.
That was such, that might be one all of the games were of the fun. Year.
The Sacramento game on a Tuesday with the Warriors blew a 24-point lead. You pull Moses Moody in that one.
Pods has a lot of Brock Purdy vibes, and just like, you know, it feels like he just passes the eye test on a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I was saying this to Lubman yesterday. Like, they're very different. I'm not here to, like, you can't equate the last pick in the draft to being a third or fourth rounder in baseball. Right. They're just very, or even like a late first rounder or mid first rounder in basketball. It's just so, it's so different. So different. But in terms of like passing the eye test and like the guy belongs, I don't know how great he is, how good he is. Like, Pods belongs, right? Same thing I feel like about Tyler Fitzgerald. When I watch Tyler Fitzgerald play baseball, I get the Brock Purdy, like, he passes the eye test. Like, I don't know what he'll end up being. I don't know how sustainable this is. I don't know how great. I don't think he's just going to, like, bottom out and not be a big leaguer. I think this is this is a guy who's going to be on a big league roster somewhere for the next decade. And when I watch Tyler Fitzgerald, I don't think he's a 12 home run every month guy, because that would put you into the Hall of Fame. But I certainly don't think he's a guy who's going to bat 100 for 6 months and not be in the bigs. I think he passes the eye test, and I get a lot of the same Brock Purdy humbleness, grindstone, big picture, just kind of like, I don't know, man. I really like Tyler Fitzgerald. Then I put Pods in that same kind of bucket.
Yeah, I think Pods, you know, gets a lot of heat for whatever reason. But, he may first team all rookie. I think he's a winning player. You know, I don't care what the stat sheet says. But the vibe I get from Pods, and we don't know how good he's going to be, but I like having aspirations of saying, hey, I'm going to play for the 2028 Team USA Dream Team.
Yep.
I'm playing in the Olympics. I like the fact that he has those goals. What's wrong with that? Have some confidence in yourself. This guy was counted out early on in his college career. Had to come out to Santa Clara to make a name for himself, and he did that under Herb Sendek, the head coach at Santa Clara. Pods just... And I talk to more and more people, they say, man, the guy just, he's one of those winning players that you can have on a championship type of team. So what does that net in terms of raw data, raw numbers? I don't know. Is it 13 points a game? Is it 40% from the three-point line? I don't know that yet. But the fact that he's working on his game, he told Willard FP, look, no more hook shots, no more floaters. I'm working on my catch and shoot, and I'm working on my three-point shot. I understand we're going to need that spacing. I'm going to need to extend my range. So like the Giants, like one thing about the Giants, I think people are not, they're a little happy, or they're not happy with the schedule or with their record or whatnot, but at least we get to see the youngsters, right? We get to see Ramos. We get to see Fitzgerald. We're seeing Casey Schmidt.
Unless you're Bailey. Luciano and you don't go 10 for 21.
I mean, you know, Luciano, that's another question. But you're seeing the young pitchers, Birdsong, and obviously Kyle Harrison. With the Warriors, at least, which we've been clamoring for the last 2 years, we're going to see the youngsters.
Well, here's where I get a little worried.
Larry Marketing
Kuminga
game?
Making $46, $45, $44 million. It's just a lot of money. Now, you could say, Joe, the salary cap, and you have to, you know, make it some sort of a percentage of whatever the salary cap is and break it. And I get the market. I understand all that. It is a lot of money to commit to him. And so,
well, you don't have to do it right away.
What?
You don't have to do it right away.
Well, no, I think the more and more that I've been thinking about it is like, I don't think you should.
Yeah.
I think you absolutely owe it to yourself and the player to allow it to play itself out.
No, let's see what he looks like this year.
I think it would be a mistake for them. If they think in him long term, like, what's the price tag if he has a monster year? Even if he hypothetically makes an all-star game, how does the price tag change that much this year?
Yeah, I don't think it does.
In terms of, like,
he'll be worth that $45-$50.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Which I'll comfortably and happily pay you.
Yeah,
come June, July, whatever.
I would just wait. The $30 million sounded great. Like, I wanted that $30 million.
Well, it didn't, and now it does.
The thirty million was like a bargain. I felt like that would have been a bargain for Kuminga. Now you get the numbers where it's like 5 years, $224 million. It's like, damn,
$30 million.
Damn, well, in the NBA world, you know, we're talking monopoly money here. Lowry marketed game number two in Salt Lake City.
Ugh.
The Lowry marketing game.
No, that's the Danny Ainge sucks game.
Well, you know, it's in Salt Lake City.
Oh.
And me, Draymond Green, the lockup Lowry marketing.
No, Kuminga's dropping 50 in that one.
Oh, Kuminga might drop 30. Pods is going to light it up.
I need a new Kuminga celebration. He needs to, like throw up the X's or something. Like, he needs to do something when he does something, like, you know, some vicious dunk. He needs, like, something to say, like, y'all should have traded for me when you had the chance.
That's not him, though. He's so, like calm, cool, collected. Like, he does a stare, though, at the bench to Markkanen. That'd be pretty sick. Just stare at him.
He's in my list of guys in the Bay Area I wouldn't want to cross at all.
Dude, the Lowry Markkanen game is going to be fascinating. So you get Portland right away. Motor Center will be rocking. Then you get to Salt Lake City.
When is the Motor Center not rocking?
It's always rocking. That's the only show in town. Friday night in Salt Lake City.
No.
Oh, the Timbers.
Well, and that's where our single A team is.
Yeah. Or it's in Eugene.
That's about
an hour and a half away.
I mean, this is Oakland, Sacramento,
Monterey, San Francisco. You know, it's exactly. The same thing.
Yeah.
Santa Clara on certain days is about an hour and a half away.
It's all Bay
if
Area.
If we're being honest.
What else? Just real quick here. So you got marketed game number two. Did he get the Clippers on a Sunday home opener, which would be a lot of fun? And then you get the Pelicans for a little back-to-back, a little baseball back-to-back.
Pelicans,
the team who basically knocked you out.
The Brandon Ingram showcase game.
Or the Zion Williamson
Come
showcase
on,
game.
Pelicans!
Yeah, baby.
Come on, Pelicans.
Yeah, baby.
They go visit Jordan Poole early November.
Are you going to be able to make it through that Pelicans game because of your devout love of Trey Murphy III?
I do love Trey Murphy. You know, when he worked out here, he was here for like 3 days. He locked himself in the gym, and it was half and half. It was mixing in that front office.
For 3 days working out.
Dude, I love Trey Murphy III.
Why do you need to know that?
Because it's just little details. Like when he worked out the pre-draft combine, you know when they bring these players in, they work him out 4 days, send him off. He was here for three days.
This guy off air is like, the things that I know that you guys don't know about this Warriors team.
I don't even say that.
You just don't know.
I know. I never say that.
I hold back and I suppress.
No, I never say that. I just say, you ask me and I say, yeah, I know some things.
Everybody.
Well, I say some things. I'm like, yeah, I'm not telling you. One time I did, the big guy go, hey, man, do you know da 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 da? And the first thing Shashi says is, how do we bring that on the air? I was like, dude, off the record.
Well,
off the record
is off the record.
No, do not bring it to the air. Because that's how you sink the ship. Do not even. So I see that. So I don't tell you things.
The Joe Shasky, home of journalism.
Early November, Washington.
Sources are telling me.
Jordan Poole.
According to sources.
Wait, Jordan Poole?
Jordan Poole game. This is a Jordan Poole game. And then
JP with the Golden State Warriors.
Rashad McCants had a take about Jordan
Poole. If you could trade Wiggins straight up for Jordan Poole right now, would you do it?
I think a lot of people would do it.
That's a great question.
It is a great question.
I would.
I think a lot of people would do it. I'm buying stock in Andrew Wiggins.
Get ready to sell.
No, I'm not selling. I didn't sell on Snell. I'll hold stock, baby. If it sinks, I'm buying the dip.
If it sinks, I'm going down.
I'm going down. I'm going.
Is that Dido? I will go down with the ship. There you go.
Is that her second hit?
Yeah.
Okay. Early November, Washington. Then they play Boston.
Ah.
Should Steve Kerr go to that game?
What?
In Boston.
Well, Dave Portnoy is definitely going to be ringside for that, Portnoy's or courtside or whatever.
Let me just say, this guy on camera, Mr. Patriotic, Mr. USA, I'm rooting for France in the gold medal game.
he had two other Boston Celtics on the team playing.
Dude, it's just like, you talk about a dude. I don't even want to, I'm not going to do that. Memphis. Memphis is in a cup play in the group for the NBA Cup with the Warriors.
Josh's
ready to roll. I'm telling you, Ja's going to be a problem.
I'll be real. Love Ja in the NBA. I want him nowhere near my USA team.
Well, in LA, Ja Morant, Team USA, with his pops.
Yeah, I'm
here. Oh, my God.
Ja.
Hey, that is going to be. Where are they going to play the gold medal game after that? Into it, though?
I don't know. But so if Ja's
probably into it, though.
Yeah. If Team Morant is there, then you better put Sharp courtside as well.
All right. What else? What else do you want to know about the schedule?
Steven Adams.
No, where's Steven Adams? Oh, he got traded from Memphis, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Where is he?
Yeah, I'll tell you where he is. Aquaman is going to have a new movie coming out soon.
He's a Rocket.
He's a Rocket.
That's actually a good move for them.
That is a good move for them. Wow. When do the Warriors see Dylan Brooks? Oh, they see him November 2nd.
Hey.
Sixth game of the season.
Look out for my Rockets.
Hey, Shangoon.
They play hard for Ime Udoka.
They do play hard for him.
Emphasis on hard. They actually
Emphasis on hard. Jalen Green, Shangoon.
Like Rockets Shangoon. Coming out to play.
That is. I'm like, come on.
The Rockets coming out to play.
He puts out so many mixtapes, I don't even know what's what. Draymond, dude. The summer of Dre.
The Rockets coming out to play.
Is he the best pop hot or alive in terms of athletes currently in the game?
Well, that's what he does.
Best hot or alive. Well,
they're in competition for the podcast of the year.
Who?
These NBA players.
What award?
Give an award. He won it last year. So you got all the smoke pot. I forgot who's giving it out. I got some pot. Look it up, Spinotti or Lubman. Podcast of the year. Sports podcast of the year, I believe. And Draymond won it last year.
No.
He's got competition, though. You got Matt Barnes and Stack Jack. You got Jeff Teague and Club 502. They're rolling now. You got Iguodala and Evan Turner, the point forward or whatever it is.
Pivot or something?
You got the Pivot podcast.
Yeah, that's a different one.
One, but they're in the category. They're in the Pat Bev's podcast.
He's in Saudi now. Saudi money, Pat Bev.
Don't forget the JJ Redick LeBron podcast.
Oh, he was in Israel, Pat Bev.
That's a big mistake then, my bad.
I'm sure. Don't forget, Curry's got a podcast.
Don't talk about that.
Yeah, he's done two episodes? Bob Myers had a podcast. He did like two episodes.
Yeah.
Kind of shoved it. So I'm saying, all these podcasts, dude, Draymond's got to pump it out. He's in competition. It's a deep category.
Right, Tel Aviv of the Israeli Premier League.
Yeah, that's where he's at.
The IPL, IPL.
He said something the other day about Darvin Ham.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.